Good morning. What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day, celebrating a multitude of gifts and blessings from Almighty God. It's kind of odd this morning where the sun is usually gorgeous through the windows, but even now it's just a little subdued, and it almost looks like, well, who knows what might be falling out of the sky, whether it's liquid or white powder or something. So we'll hold our breath until we all get home later today. But may we always remember, even though it might be a little cloudy and overcast here, that indeed the sun is shining brilliantly and boldly up above the clouds, and the sun is shining upon each of us. As we worship together, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
I was long-winded out there. Forgive me. We offer a very warm welcome to all of you, and particularly if anyone is visiting with us today. I looked around. I didn't see any visitors. Are there any visitors today? Anybody? Okay. If you are visiting, be sure to take one of our pamphlets that's out in the Northex hanging. It'll give you some information on the church. Please don't forget to sign the pew registers. They're the red registers at the end of your pew. Also, for the announcements, we have one of our favorite events today. It's our soup and sandwich luncheon. It's always a great event, and please go downstairs and support our committee on that, okay? Also, there are many other announcements that depend on your attendance. Please read them and take notice of them. A special message from Alice is that due to unforeseen circumstances, the new florist that she has been using has closed. So she needs some help with you bearing with her until we find a new florist. If that is something that you should know, please take heart with that. Also, the children's collection this week is to be for Human Relations Day, which is a special Sunday in the United Methodist Church. It encourages social justice and work at at-risk youth. So the community depends on your support with this, so that's where the children's offering will be offered today. Take notice that if you are a chairman of a committee, that if you cancel your meetings, please contact the custodian so we won't have to do anything special for you on that night. Take notice of all the announcements that should be of interest to you. At this time, we're going to give our hearts to God. And another announcement. You know what this is about?
Living Last Supper. I'm pleased to say that in the past week, we got someone to take over as wardrobe chairman, and that's Lisa. And she asked me to announce today that those of you who volunteered to do some ironing, the costumes can be picked up next week after church down in the choir room or during the Sunday school hour sometime next Sunday. Secondly, I'm in need of at least one extra actor men. I still have two or three people I have to hear from yet. So any of you men who might have the acting bug, let me know. And those of you who are already in the cast, anybody you can strong arm would be greatly appreciated. Anybody who wants to volunteer for anything in helping for the Living Last Supper, please let me know. There's a lot of jobs to do, and we have fun while we're doing it. Thanks.
Good morning. I was in such a rush to get out of the house this morning to go to one of the nursing homes, and I forgot to grab it. But yesterday I received in the mail something that's important to the church, and that's that the school for the lay leaders is going to be starting up soon. Now, normally it starts in March, but this year it's starting very early. I believe we are starting like the Sunday after Valentine's Day, but it's starting real early. On Valentine's Day. Okay. But it is starting early. There are the standard classes of the certified lay leader, the basic lay leader. There's classes in leading prayer, in leading Bible studies and small groups. There's a couple of other classes. I'll have more information on it next week, but you could also look on the Greensboro District website for information on the classes, and you can also register online for the classes. But you do need to register before February 7th, if I remember the date. So if you're interested, this is not a school that is only for lay leaders and certified lay servants and all that. It is open to everyone. So it could be a benefit. Some of the classes could be benefit to those that are leading committees, that are leading Bible studies or small groups, or just in general for personal enlightenment. They're all good classes, 5 Sundays in a row for about 3 hours. There's always food. Of course, it's a Methodist event, so there has to be food. So if you would like any more information, you could see me or Dave or check online, and it's there. But please consider going. If I did not look, but last year we had it at Charter Oak out in Greensburg. And I think that they were planning on, from the talk that I was hearing, having it there again. So that's most likely where it's going to be. Yeah, but check online or next week. I'll have a better announcement when I have the paper right in front of me. Thank you.
Would you please stand for the call to worship? There are many gifts, but one Spirit.
There are many services, but one Lord.
We offer our gifts in the service of the living Christ.
We offer our gifts to the service of others and to the light of the living God.
Spirit of God, your name is revered from the mountaintop to the sea. Your glory is praised in the east and in the west, in the north and in the south. Your Spirit unites us through your wondrous gifts. Delight in us once more. That the joy of your salvation may spill over into our lives and make us one with you and with one another. Guide our hearts and minds into the fullness of your grace, that we may truly be your people. Amen. Remain standing for our hymn of praise, number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
And how are all of you today?
Good.
Good. No school tomorrow?
Nope.
Let's get a holiday tomorrow. Yes. So, did you ever go to a wedding? Nope. Do you know what happens at a wedding?
Yeah.
What?
Two people get married.
And who do you think is the most important person at the wedding?
The pastor.
What's that?
He said the custodian.
The custodian. Could be. It's all point of perspective. Well, normally at a wedding, who comes down the aisle?
The bride.
The bride does. Anybody else come down the aisle? Sometimes the groom does. Sometimes here the groom comes from over there. Who else comes down that aisle?
The bride's father.
The father brings her in. And who are these people that are along the sides? Who are they called? Do you know? They're called attendants. And then sometimes there's a little boy and a little girl.
That's the father and
Flower Girl and the Ring Bearer. Yeah. Yeah. And so then they all come down and they stand here and we have the bride and the groom and maybe the dad in the middle. But at some point we say, go sit down. And then the bride and the groom and I usually move up here. Yeah. So you know what? Jesus went to a wedding. Can you imagine what it would be like to have Jesus at your wedding? Jesus came. But nobody knew a whole lot about him yet. And they ran out of what they were drinking. Grape juice. Scripture says they ran out of wine. But for you all, it's grape juice. Okay, they ran out of grape juice. Do you know what? Jesus' mother was there as well. And she said, hey, Jesus, they ran out of wine. You know what he said to her? Woman, that'll get you into trouble right there. Don't ever refer to your mother as woman. It's not my time. And then his mom said, what was his mom's name again?
Mary.
She said to the servants, that's the custodian, do whatever he tells you to do. And there were some big pots of water. And Jesus turned all the water into
wine
or grape juice for you, okay? Yeah, yeah. Just because he wanted to save the family from being embarrassed for running out of food. They didn't have enough food. And so the celebration, the reception, kept going on, and everybody had fun. So we need to remember that Jesus wants to help us every day with what we need. Whether we need a drink, whether we need some food. We know he did food later on because he had, five loaves and two fish and fed how many people? Thousands. Thousands of people. So Jesus not only wants us to have him in our hearts, but Jesus helps us with what we need during the day, every single day. I know you can remember that. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. We pray that always all of us will rely on you for whatever it is that we need. Something to drink, something to eat, someone to help us in a difficult situation. You're always there. Be with these boys and girls as they live and grow for you. Might they always be faithful. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Be sure. I know that Jesus has promised. God's love for me is sure. Wherever we travel, on to eternity, forever with Jesus, that's where I want to be. I'm not bragging, but I know God's love for me is sure. Steps lead, God's always by my side. Whatever I may need, my God will provide. I'm not bragging, but I know God has his hand on me.
Thank you so much, girls. Don't they bring a smile to your face and joy to your heart? Just watching them. Our responsive reading is number 771, the 36th Psalm. Please follow along with me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, humans and animals you save.
O God, how precious is your steadfast love. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light.
O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright in heart.
Will the ushers please come forward for our tithes and offerings? Precious is each person that you created in your image. We could never give an accounting of the true worth of a human being. You alone know how highly you value every person. For the price of redeeming the world cost the life of your Son. Help us to be people who restore relationships. Use us in our offerings to fulfill the mission of your church. We pray in the name of Christ our King. Amen.
Please be seated. We come to the time in our service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you look on the back of our worship folder this morning, you'll see our list for prayers there. At the bottom, you see we also want to express our sympathy to Jean in the loss and death of her brother, and Iva Lube with the death of her mother. Iva's mom was 104.
As Iva said this morning, Mom is at peace and at rest. And, you know, not only do you grieve a loss, but you celebrate 104 years. Some other ones here, additions. Madison and Vanessa Health, First Medical McKeesport. To remember those individuals and situations, prayers for Larry as well. And you said Julie took a break. Julie took a break from work, kind of like a week of vacation. And she's in Greece for a week helping the refugees. What a way to take your vacation. But her dad doesn't know it, right? So, shh. And Julie's birthday is Saturday. And she'll return a week from today. So kind of mom's the word, I guess. And so the rest of individuals there you see and can see their names. And then obviously we turn on the news or look on our phones and we are flooded with a multitude of situations around the world that continually need our prayer and the presence of Christ. Let us unite our hearts and our spirits then in our prayer hymn this morning, number 114, Many Gifts, One Spirit.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us. And we are never alone. Way back in the day, O God, you had a vision. You had a dream. And then over the next 6 days, you spoke. And that dream came fulfilled in the creative process of the world, of the universe, of all that is. And in that dream, O God, you have created each and every one of us. You sent prophets. You sent kings. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ. On Pentecost, O God, you sent your Holy Spirit. And the church in that moment was as diverse and as perfect as it would ever be, as it has ever been. And we've been dreaming of that moment ever since. Dr. Martin Luther King had a dream, had a vision. That time when a little black child and a little white child could walk down the street holding hands. Oh God, we pray for that dream. That moment and time when individuals can join hands and celebrate life together because our lives have been intertwined and touched by you. Oh God, we know that when lives are intertwined with you, that life goes, oh, so much better. There is then a sense of peace, a sense of confidence, a sense of wisdom and understanding. Oh, we may not always agree on some things, but yet we know that when two hearts are in tune with God, that, well, wonderful things can happen. Oh God, we pray for the leadings of your Spirit. We pray for the mission and ministry that is represented by each individual and each family that is represented here today. But we also know, oh God, that in the empty pews, that a mission and ministry is missing. We know that you call us to go forth from this place out into the world, that we might be your church that is alive and well and active in our communities, in our places of work and play, that others might see and experience the presence of Christ radiating through each and every one of us. Oh God, we know that you call us as your church and individuals to pray. To pray for the situations around the world, in our own country, in our own communities, in our own families, in the lives of individuals. For those, oh God, that have been named today. For those, oh God, upon our hearts. We pray for your healing power and presence, for your wisdom, for acceptance, for understanding, for a sense of peace and wholeness that can only come from you. Oh God, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we ask and pray as we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear now these words that Paul has for us from his first letter to the church at Corinth. Verses 1 to 11 from chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be misinformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates them all. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit has chosen. The word of God for the people of God. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your servant Paul. Oh, for the mission and ministry that he has done in the life of your church. And the mission and ministry that still occurs through his words in the life of the church today. Oh God, give us a sense of peace and rest and comfort from the activities of daily life and living. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Elizabeth Grace Saunders has written an article in the Harvard Business Review with the title, "Are You Proud of How You're Spending Your Time?" She urges us to stop doing what is most urgent and start intentionally investing in what is important. Yes, there is a difference between what is most urgent and what is most important. Answering that email, for example, is really not as important as attending your child's event. Saunders encourages us to prioritize family and friends, to take vacations, to stay healthy, and to finally come to know ourselves. In my experience, she writes, it's easy to lose track of who you are, what you enjoy, where you are in life, and where you're going unless you purposefully and intentionally take time to reflect. The Apostle Paul has some of the very same concerns, which is why he writes to the Christians at the church in Corinth about the gifts of the Spirit. He wants them to be proud about how they are spending their time and to make sure that they are focusing on Spirit work so that they can accomplish the ministry that God has for them in the body of the church. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed, writes Paul. You know that when you were pagans, when you were outside of the Christian church, you were enticed and led astray by idols that could not speak. Isn't it amazing how the truths of the Bible can leap centuries and speak to us exactly where we are today? We are still enticed and led astray. Oh, it may not be from Roman idols that surround us, but we're enticed by our, well, these sometimes God-forsaken things. Do you ever go out to dinner and maybe you're having a conversation with whomever it is you're with, and you look over and see another family of four or five or six? Hamburger, French fries, cheese, ketchup, no onion. Oh, I better be careful. I'm going to call my sister. Good Lord, we don't want to talk to her now. We may be tempted by those emails, those texts, those phone apps, those social media, those websites, that stuff that just draws our attention to ourselves, and we're not paying attention to the moment and who we're with. Like the Christians at Corinth, we focus more on what is urgent, but not what is important. Now, there are varieties of gifts, says Paul, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but it's from the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's all the same God who activates them, all of them, in everyone. Notice that Paul is not saying that the Spirit work is limited to a single gift. Not a single service, not a single activity. But there are varieties of gifts and services and activities. And what unites all of this together is that it's from the same divine source. Well, what source is that? To each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, the work and the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. Spirit work comes from God. It serves the common good. So what does this word work look like? Well, we can't just say that we love our neighbors. We actually must perform acts of love. We can't simply believe in forgiveness. We've actually got to forgive those who have hurt us. We can't only talk about justice. We have to do justice. Tom Schultz, founder of Group Publishing, it's something when I was more involved in youth ministry that I would keep anything that came from Group because it was fantastic. Tom Schultz has been wondering why people don't come to church anymore. Instead of just reading articles on the subject, he decided to go do some inventory and research on his own. And so he staked out a bench in a city park, and he began to ask people, "Why aren't you in church today?" One of the top reasons he got, "Well, the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. And clearly no one wants to go to church when people on Sunday say one thing and do something different the rest of the week." But Schultz began to dig a little deeper and discovered that there's more to his response. He says what bothers people most that don't come to church is that the church people act like they have all the answers. They act like they've arrived. That they're only interested in telling others what to do. Fact is, according to Schultz, most people do not experience God in church. Most people do not experience God in church. But yet most people crave something very simple. They're dying to be reassured that God is real, that God is more than just a historical figure, that God is present today, and that God is active in the lives of individuals around them. Spirit work assures people that God is real and alive and active. Through simple actions that you and I can do, it shows people that God is present in our lives and in the community of the Christian believers. Within the church, some are given gifts of healing by the Spirit, says Paul, and another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. The list describes a variety of skills and gifts that are available to each and every one of us as those who are connected to Christ. The point is that no one of these gifts are any better than the other, but they're all to be used for the working within the life of the church, activated by the one and same Spirit. Sometimes the work of these gifts is very small and behind the scenes. A New York columnist asked his readers to describe their purpose in life and how they found it. And one of them responded, her name was Kim, and she wrote, "My purpose is simply to be the person who can pick up the phone and give you 30 minutes in a time of crisis. I can listen to you complain about your coworker." She said, "I can even look you in the eye and give you a few dollars in the parking lot. I can help you keep afloat with a little boost." You see, my friends, that's spirit work. That would fit under Paul's categories of healing, discernment of spirits, maybe even working miracles. Because it serves a common good and it builds up the community of believers. So our challenge is to clear away the stuff that clutters our lives so that the gifts of God's Spirit can be put to use in our lives. We can begin by, well, perhaps on occasion, turning off our screens for a while and instead of staring into our screens, to staring into the person who's right there with us. It's only when we look into the eyes of an individual eye to eye that we can engage in some real conversation and show each other the love of God. It might not seem to be the most urgent work, but it's usually the most important work. The good news about this Spirit work is that it energizes us. It helps us connect to one another. And we then begin to experience a sense of inspiration and community and unity within the life of the church. Spirit work is replacing the earthly with the heavenly, with the urgent, with what's important. And we do this, my friends, we will find ourselves closer to God, closer to Jesus, and closer to each other and better able to serve the common good. And that, my friends, is time well spent. Let us pray. Gracious God, life can get so cluttered. And sometimes we invite that clutter and we carry it with us. As the saying goes, we pray in our daily lives and living, O God, that we will keep the main thing the main thing. And allow your Spirit to work wonders within each and every one of us. This, O God, is our hope and it is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Let us stand and turn to our closing hymn, number 558, We Are the Church.
Thank you.
gracious and loving God, you send us into the world. And we pray that we will discern between what is urgent and what is important. And that we will allow your gifts to work through each and every one of us for your kingdom. For we go, O God, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.